Campaign Casters is a fantasy-filled, heavy player-populated podcast for adults. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
Hail, travelers, adventurers, and heroes well met. Welcome to Campaign Casters, a high fantasy TTRPG podcast designed to introduce you to your fictional home away from home. My name is Haven Hot Stuff Joseph Lyon, and I will be your caster master for today.
We are a heavy player populated party of not adventurers, but investigators trying to make a name for ourselves in a big city. Where this is a campaign that will be run by two DMs and introducing a new 5th edition class known as the Runecaster.
If you enjoy this episode, please give a review of what you thought. If we make it to 1,000 reviews, tune in at the end of the episode to find out what additional content we will release that you can be a part of. Casters, please present your titles.
I am Nicholas Bailey, and I'm playing Elxador Renades.
I am Heath Chase, and I'm playing Sigma Lang.
I am Jake Taylor, and I am playing Brian Smith.
I am Adam Fox, and I am playing Leo.
I am Sophia Condit, and I am playing Lycan.
I am Ari Bordak Mitchell, and I'm playing Gael of the House of the Solstice.
And I am Haven Hot Stuff Joseph Lyon playing Mrs. Stone.
Cool down over there.
Put your shirt back on.
No, keep it off. Keep it off.
That's for the Patreon users.
Yeah, I'll make a full calendar.
Oh, you're coming on a calendar.
No, what it will be Nick and I, and we switch off every month.
Yes. So,
yes. And you'll just have written in Sharpie on your chest, hot and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So last time, our investigators partook in the casino games while meeting a lot of different NPCs. Leo and Sig partook in Mushroom Cart against this dude named Urbane with this porcelain mask, as well as Alana, a gold leaf woman who you all discovered was flirting with Leo. Then we went over to Gael, Nyssa, and Elks, where you all met Ignaz. Ignaz was this famous actor of the Revel Finn stage, and you were able to play some games with him, as well as eventually convince him to take you to the VIP room, otherwise known as the High Bidders room. And then we went over to Brine and Lycan. The three of you met three different crew members of a different, where the two of you met three different crew members of a specific ship that you don't know the name of, but something to do with white dolphins. And then Brian injected himself with liquid luck, attempting to try and get out of the like little deal you guys were making. You were able to get out of it, and you made your way. You informed your friends after going through the high bidding tables and realizing there wasn't a way to get in that you knew of yet. You all got together. You all convinced Ignaz to show you the way. He showed you Elder Blast, and then he took you to the high bidder's room. So I'll read what just happened after you touch the light, just so everyone remembers. Upon touching the golden light, the energy filters throughout your body as your skin dims with translucency. You feel as you start to sink beneath into the seat below and phase through the floor lower and lower until you enter a new area. As your skin regains its visible structure, you find yourself in a blank room with dark oak and green banners. The door before you is closed with a placard above presenting the words, High Bidder's Room. It's the seven of you, including your additional friend, Ignaz, who is standing there. You see that Ignaz probably, because this was the first time you really got to see Ignaz standing. Ignaz is about around 7 feet tall. And I forgot to tell you what you would know his race to kind of be. He looks a little more human, but you see that his skin itself is actually iridescent. And as we discussed in prior episodes, the humans do not exist anymore. Mainly what makes up Conomanther is hobgoblins, half-orcs, and Genazi. Well, you would know, and you could identify that he is a special type of Genazi that has found its way into Cerulean that is very rare, known as a light Genazi.
Ooh.
You would also know that, so there are light Genazis as well as shadow Genazis that find their way within the city of Conomanther. So you are all currently standing in this vacant room. You see behind you is another golden orb. So if you were to touch it, you would assume you would float back up. But this is what you currently see in front of you, just this closed door. And you see as Ignaz says,
Well, friends, are we ready?
You see, as he goes and he grabs onto the handle, he twists it and he pushes it open. As he opens the finely carved door, you all see a packed and boisterous room before you. Like that of a nightclub, you see neon fairy lights and magical orbs spinning throughout the room. And you hear that drop. Made of dark oak and its signature forest green banners, this room is crawling with strangers as they shout towards the center with anger and joy. Looking to the center of the room, you spot a raised circular platform with iridescent and translucent walls to safeguard the nearby bidders. Inside the ring, you see two figures standing. Each is muscular and covered in scuffs. The one to the left is that of a white-haired kitsune with long hair, red eyes, and scars that scrawl his fit physique. The one to the right is that of a rekindled man with purple eyes, golden jewelry that swings from his head, and a purple flame lit within the core of his inorganic skin that seems to be almost sewn together. It's a bit different than what you've seen rekindled to be. You would know that rekindled have a bunch of different looks to them because each construct is not the same as the last. The two charge forth toward the other, devil may care. You see the kitsune's four tails begin to shift and shudder as the white-haired man changes into a rhino-shaped beast with mushrooms growing from its body and a brilliant crystal horn as he juts forth, stampeding toward the rekindled. In response, you watch the rekindled man grab hold of the horn and flip up onto the rhino-like beast, bashing down into the spot above its horn. The audience roars as the two continue to flit back and forth with each hit. And as you see this entire thing, Ignaz rejoices,
"Yes, this is it! This is the high bidder's room. Welcome."
You would know that there's two floors. Currently the one you're on, and then the floor. So the one you're on right now has a bar behind the boisterous ring surrounded by seating that fills the walls and alcoves similar to that that you saw with the high bidder rooms that you phased down through. As well as the second floor mainly looks to be an upper railing, but visibly has more seating and a lit up station reading "Place Your Bets."
So are there more games here that we can gamble on besides Elder Blast?
You see, as Ignaz looks, he goes,
"That."
He points towards the ring where the two people are fighting.
Is that Elder Blast?
"That is not Elder Blast. I showed you Elder Blast upstairs."
"Oh, what's this game?"
"Oh, this is just fight."
"Fighting?
You bet on the fight."
"I see.
You bet on who wins."
"Hmm. Do you have to be a part of the casino to fight in the ring, or can
no.
it be anyone?"
"Anyone."
"Have you fought in this ring before?"
"No, I must keep my looks."
"Of course, I understand. Yeah, so, with your opinion, who do we bet on? Who's a good fighter in the ring?"
"Oh, between those two? Alexi wins."
"Alexi.
Alexi always wins."
"Yeah, well, thank you for coming up here. All right, gang, I'm going to try and get my money back." And
so you see as Ignaz immediately starts walking up, and you see like this staircase that you're easily able to find. He starts walking up, and as you all start walking up the stairs, go ahead and roll me perception checks,
yeah,
please.
I was wondering if while we're doing this, I can ask Nyssa, like, do you recognize anyone from the depths here or anyone like that? I'm just trying to gauge the crowd.
"Yes, from what I can tell," and you look around and you see, like, all of these people are, like, either they're insanely rich or they're, like, dirt broke and trying to make ends meet. And you can see, I would say it's actually pretty easy to tell that these people are in drugs. You don't see people injecting, but you definitely know that they are not of the normal state of mind for most people. There are somebody that could be like straight edge people that are within this crowd just looking
straight
for
edge.
Looking for money and stuff like
the
that.
Drunk
but
drivers, if you
will. Yeah.
Of course. All right.
Yeah. So, but what did everyone get? Elkstor?
10.
17.
10.
8.
16. 17.
Anyone who got above a 15, as you scan through the crowd, you spot a familiar face on the second floor on the opposing side of where you're coming up the stairs. This familiar face is seated within one of the alcoves. With a misshapen head, lanky arms, and orange slitted eyes, you see and recognize the Kilmuli you had run into in the heart of the Eskrik district. Except one thing is different. Instead of shabby rags, you see as he wears a fine emerald green tunic and a briefcase beside him. Each possess the familiar familiar logo of dice and cards native to Kilmooley Casino. As you watch the small man for a moment, you see as one of the twins in the elegant dresses approaches his guarded table that you saw before, the ones in the dresses that were fine, the purple to ash and red to white. As you watch the small man for a moment, you see as one of the twins in the elegant dresses approaches his guarded table. To the left and right of the booth, you see two Kilmooley bodyguards. Each of them wears the familiar purple sunglasses and tarnished black plated armor. As she talks with the fancy Kilmooley, you see him open his briefcase, reach in, and slide a silver vial over to her. She, in turn, stows the shining vial into her finely made arm bag and steps away. But you see, as you start walking up, Ignaz starts stepping up through to this second floor. He leads you all over towards the Place Your Bets, where you see this like kind of like glowing magical sign that says Place Your Bets above, and you see a small Kilmooley man on the other side who's kind of like looking out, and he goes,
"Well, how about you want to bet? Have you been none?"
And you see as Alexi puts down some money, you see as he puts 500 gold down in front of the man, and he goes,
"On Alexi."
He goes, "Yes, Ignaz." And he puts stuff away.
25 gold for Alexi as well.
Big spender. You see as he grabs it and he puts it away. You see as he gives you back like token, like like tickets, pretty ding, much.
Lycan's gonna try to slip off of Brian and then reappear and kind of like emerge from the crowd.
Okay.
I was looking for you guys.
As soon as you walk up, you see as Ignaz sees you and he goes,
"Oh, little one. Who are you?"
My name's Lycan.
This is one of our friends.
"Oh, nice to meet you, Lycan. The name is Ignaz."
You see as he shakes your hand, like, fervently.
He's really cool.
Leo's a big fan of yours. He keeps your picture in his satchel, actually.
I appreciate it. Yes. No worries, friend. It's okay. I understand. I am magnanimous.
You see as he, like, looks off into the distance.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what are some good seats we can get?
Well, it depends on what you like. Some people are part of the crowd. I am more of a crowd fighter. I like to watch from right along the edge. But if you're not those type of people, that's perfectly fine.
No, let's go right there.
I'm putting 10 in.
A big spender as well.
Yeah.
CSE.
I mean, I've been feeling pretty lucky today.
What say ye to the price of one copper piece?
This is the high bidder's room.
All right, Brent. Two copper pieces.
Brent, how lucky are you feeling?
Oh, very still. Yes.
Do we also say we're on Alexi?
Okay. It's been about an hour and you still feel effects.
Cool, excellent.
Very lucky.
Do we also say who we're going for?
I slide you.
Yeah, you have 15. To tell me. You have to tell me who you're going for.
Yeah, Alexi.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's going for Alexi?
I'll get it back. Yeah.
15 gold and two copper pieces.
Very well. You see, as he takes it, he gives you a coin back.
Then if I could kind of like go over to Sig, like, in the meantime, I'll be with Ignis up on the front, and you guys can scout around.
I think I saw something.
Okay, I'll let you go see something.
Yeah, I'll be back.
Oh wait, hold on. Wait, we should all have a code word, you know, or something like to know that we know all to get us back together. Like caca, you know?
If you truly want to use something as broad as caca, we could do caca.
Yes.
Sure.
For the bit.
All right.
Yeah, scream as loud as you can, and then we all know to meet up.
So that's if something goes wrong, though.
Something goes wrong.
Okay. So describe to me, where's everyone going? So Elxador is staying with Ignaz.
I'm going to grab Brian, and we're going to head up to the second floor.
You're already on the second floor currently.
Well, the Kilmooley.
You're just going to go
I out saw it as well, so I'm probably going to... If I see that you noticed the Kilmooley, I'll probably follow as well.
So everyone goes downstairs except for the three of you. The three of you, go ahead and tell me what you're doing. So you're going around the top of this, the outskirts of the railings, and you're going towards this Kilmooley.
I noticed that Kilmooley up there distributing some of the drugs that we're after, so I figure that might be some sort of lead.
He does look quite familiar.
That Kilmooley right over there.
Yeah.
That's the lad that took me gold.
When?
He was a beggar on the street.
Oh, when you were coming back from the what's the bakery? From Temptations.
Yeah, when you were off praying or whatever.
Something like that. Interesting. So you recognize that same beggar here.
Clearly he ain't a beggar.
Clearly not.
'Twas just a front.
All right. Well, let's not worry about that too much. We're being higher profile now. So let's not confront him about the beggar thing.
Mm.
We got to figure out what he's tossing around. Because if he has the things that Finnick was cooking, that's a good connection.
You're right, lad.
Is there perhaps a way to use the fact that we know that he's been out begging on the streets of some sort? Is there a way to use that against him? It's information that we know. I don't know what sort of profile he's trying to keep up.
All
but
depends
just
on if
just
he's...
a thought.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Let's go in not with that, but if it comes to it, we'll use it. We'll definitely use it. What we have.
All right.
To.
Depends on if he's shameful of it or not.
Yeah, that too.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah, so you all start to walk over. You see, it's a very nice, like, little alcove of seating. So it's like one of those, rather than like a circular one, it's more of like a square booth. You see this nice brass and silver table that is not so unfamiliar to you all. And you see these nice leather-bound and leather-sewn seats that he sits on. And you see the case, the briefcase is to his left, and he's behind the table, so farther away. And then to his right and left in front of the alcove, you see two smaller Kilmooli who are, two same size Kilmooli who are security guards-ish. You see as they both have like black plate armor in these like purple glasses on. And you see as you all walk over and you see as one of the Kilmooli looks to you and they go, "Oi, what business you got with Coley?"
I hope this works. And I pull out the vial and I just tap it a few times, put it back in my pocket.
Distributor.
You could say that.
You see as he goes, "All right." And they both move to the side a little bit as you, all three of you, kind of step forward a little bit. And you see as Crawley, as they called him, C-R-A-U-L-I, Crawley looks to you and you see as he sits there with his nice emerald green tunic on and he sits across the table as you all stand. And he goes,
"Hello, hello. What would be? I saw some sort of vial on you."
"Yeah, I...
Wait a minute. Don't I know you?"
"I don't think I've ever seen you in my life."
Deception.
Absolutely. 27?
He believes you.
"Sorry. Thought I recognized you."
"Yeah, I'm dealing with so much racism today."
"Nobody said nothing about being racist."
You see as he puts his hands up.
"What you got for me?"
"Well, I've got a few questions."
You see as he raises an eyebrow.
"Questions?"
"Yeah, I mean, people have been asking me what this does," and I pull out the vial and put it on the table.
"You tried it?"
"No, I haven't tried it."
"Many a potions like that?"
"I suppose. But I know that these vials are specific."
"That those vials are specific? It's a glass vial."
"I think he's inclined to mean what is inside of them. If that wasn't
Yeah,
obvious.
If you're insinuating that I know what's in the bottle, not really. I haven't tried it. There's plenty of black vials."
"All right, what do some of the other black ones do?"
"Could be something like poison. Could be something like a good time where you don't remember where you've been."
See as he gives a small smile to you.
"Does the name Fennec ring a bell?"
As soon as you say that name, you see his eyes kind of widen for a second, but he keeps his cool.
"What of the boy?"
"What do you know about him? As you seem to know him, unless you wish to deny that as well."
He gives you like a mocking smile.
Gael is completely straight faced.
"What of him? What do you want to know?"
"Did he cross you too?"
As soon as you say that, he goes,
I think this conversation's done.
Boys. He snaps. And you see as they both start coming in and start trying to push you out.
Gale whips their book around, turns to a specific page, finds it, flicks their pen, and you see a stream of words coming out that if you took the time to read them, not that you one could at this moment, but for the flavor, would be the fourth doctrine of Karmos, sincerity. I will be the most forward I can be. There is no hiding what I cannot be. And that goes in and swirls around his head and into his ears and his mouth. He has to do a charisma saving throw, which might not do well. So I just did all this cool flavor.
Got a 21.
Well, never mind.
Yeah, so what happens as soon as Gale casts something? What are you doing in response?
Punching one of them.
So he snaps his fingers. Zone of Truth is cast. It doesn't work on him. Sig, you punch one of the guards. You see as, like, their head goes to the side. As their head goes to the side and you, like, throw this punch in your follow through, like, you continue to move forward, you see as someone catches your hand at the end of you throwing a punch, and you look up and you see a porcelain mask with etchings in his mask, and he goes,
"Remember me?"
And we are going to go downstairs.
No! Okay,
so
fuck.
So as
it was too visually cool to not be used.
Yeah,
for
absolutely. So as we go downstairs, you find yourselves, everyone else walking through kind of the crowd, getting towards the front, and you see as Ignaz, like, is able to push through people because he's quite big, and starts trying to, basically just like make sure that everyone's out of the way, and he goes,
"Now this is the ring. Make sure you pay attention." You see as he kind of like sits up, like he like stands and like almost looks like a like schoolgirl, just like ready to ready to go.
And so like as he's sitting there, you all see as this fight starts breaking out. He starts bashing down into the top of the horn. You see as he's Alexei is like doing backflips and stuff, kneeing into this big rhino like beast with this crystal like horn. And you see as eventually, like nearing the end, this rhino is getting tired, and you see as Nikita unfurls back into himself and starts trying to use his claws against him, and you see as he starts taking his claws and scratching runes into his body. And you see as he starts trying to send different things towards this person, as you see runes start to... You see as he presents one of his fists forward, and you see as the blood kind of trickles down and forms here and... shoots out almost in like a laser and just misses as you see Alexei jumps out of the way. As that all happens, you see from the top of the upper railing, you see as golden light lights up in the top, and you hear somebody shout, "Alexei!" And as they shout Alexei, you see as Alexei stops fighting halfway, and you see as his purple eyes go red and the whites in his eyes start turning black, and he starts charging up as he looks up towards the second landing. Everyone roll initiative for me. Give me one second. Yeah, so all of this happens at the same time. You see as Ignaz is really enjoying this fight, you hear somebody yell Alexei, and what's going to happen is everyone who's downstairs, you get to act a turn later. So there will be one full round of combat with everyone upstairs. That's when somebody's going to yell Alexei, and then after that you'll have your turn. So you see as Crawley doesn't go first, but he has a like reaction that he can use once per turn, and you see as he grabs the top of the briefcase where the dice and the cards were, and right there you see as he presses something, and something from the briefcase, like a small disc, jumps up into the air and starts to zzzz, and you see as it starts to glow gold, and you see as this orb starts to and starts to shoot forward. Everyone roll me luck checks up there. You roll with advantage.
15.
Okay, Gale, let's go on after you.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay, that first one definitely hits.
It is. Me and my.
18 points of damage as this thing. It hit, slashes in you twice. It's gonna try and hit you one more time.
You're shitting me.
You take 14 points of damage.
And I'm down.
Yep. You see it slashes through Gale. Gale, you are now taking death saves.
Sure.
Okay, Brian, you're up.
Yeah, I'm just grapple the Crawly. I'm just gonna go for him and tackle him to the ground.
Yeah, go ahead, roll a grapple check.
Absolutely. I got a 28.
Yeah, you Holy succeed. Fuck. He can't even match that. Yeah, how do you try and grab onto him?
Well, I like, the fight starts, Sig punches a dude, and I just instinctively, Foxy and Five Nights at Freddy's 2, I just...
Oh my God. And
I lunge towards Crawly and just tackle him to the ground.
Yeah, you try and jump down onto him. You're easily able to get him in a headlock. What would you like to do for your bonus action?
I'm gonna dash with him.
Yeah.
Right? But what it's gonna look like is me just like, I have him in my arms and we're just gonna roll around across the ground, just one over the other. Nothing else I can really do.
Okay,
so.
Gale, roll a death set.
Oh my God.
Okay. As you start fading in consciousness, tell us memory.
So Gale remembers a moment, a familiar image, a place they've been in countless times, in the library, more on a more tucked away area of the House of the Solstice. They'd been working hard away at a book, trying to copy the nature of the text exactly, and the intricacies of the images, getting the perfect color selection so that this old falling apart book may continue to exist and be read. And they're still younger at this point, have been doing this for a few years and never quite been perfect enough for their teacher, mentor, Alessio. And so as they finish up this last page, all sorts of colors of ink smudged all over their hands and face, they turn around to Alessio, who's been watching over their shoulder, no expectation. And Alessio looks at them, bends over the book and says, "Good. Very good, Gale." And with that, just walks away. And Gale is blindsided because they've never even gotten that much from their mentor. And they know that even something as small as that is probably the biggest compliment in the world from Alessio. And that is the memory.
And you fade back into the darkness of your unconsciousness as we go to Urbane. You see as this porcelain masked man, like, you see as his hood kind of like kicks back and you see ash hair that's been singed on half of their face. And you see as this dude grabs to his left in a hilt and he releases it back and you see a blade that has detached bits of different blade connected on different parts.
That's
and
sick
you see as
fuck.
It and starts whipping around and he goes, "This one is for my face." And he starts to try and go towards you. I need you to make a dex saving throw for me.
That is a 23.
You take 9 points of damage, piercing damage, just so you know. It's a 23.
Yeah.
Okay, so you don't take any of those effects. You see as this dude is going to try and hit you again, completely whiffs. You see as he whiffs on this second one, you notice that this is a different weapon that he had been using, and you see as he readies himself standing, he beckons you forward with his one hand. All right, how much damage did you do to that one, dude?
7 bludgeoning and 2 psychic.
All right, so you see as this Kilmuli that you punched in the face gets poof, slapped to one side, and you see as he tries to get back up, you see as this Kilmuli starts to shake for a second, and you see as it starts to close its eyes, and you see gold energy start to shake off of it, and it... Whoosh, releases it. I need all 2 of you to make wisdom saving throws.
17.
You make it with advantage.
That's a nat 20.
Great. You feel as if this would have controlled maybe some luck within your body as you see for a second these golden threads going off in different areas. And he goes, As he like just like looks up to you, shaking. Next up is Crawley. You see as Crawley is in your grasp and he starts to radiate with this gold energy, and you see as he poofs out of your arms and he teleports on top of the table, and you see as he slams his foot down on the top of the table, a gold orb forms and he touches it and he phases out. But you see this golden orb is still there. He slams down onto this like one button on the table, and you see as it shoots a gold orb, he taps it, and you see as he disappears, which you can assume he's either going translucent up or down. So do with that what you will. Okay, then the next dude goes. You see as the second guy is going to try and go after you, Brian, because you're still going after Crawley, as he's going to try and hit you. The first attack is for 8 points of damage, piercing. Going to try and hit you a second time. Does a 13 hit you?
No.
Second one misses with the swipe of the dagger. That's the end of his turn. Sig, your turn.
Cool. I'm going to look at Urbane and be like, sorry, pal, there's no time for pleasantries. I'm surprised you recognize me like this. And then I'm going to call on Rathul and transform.
You see as he keeps his stance strong, not responding.
Yep. And as I transform, my bones creak, my skull reforms, and I grow horns. I grow another foot. The cloak falls from my back, revealing scars of past encounters, tattoos. Then I kind of like land on the ground.
Yeah, full crocodilian visage engaged.
On all fours. How far away is the golden orb?
I would say it's about 10 feet. 10 feet? Because it's inside.
Okay, I'm just going to tank the attacks. I'm going to pick up Gale's body and touch the orb.
All three of them get an attack of opportunity against you. Yes. So the Kilmuli guard got nat one, completely misses. Second Kilmuli guard gets a 20 to hit.
That'll work.
9 points of piercing. Urbane's going to try and attack you. He got a 15 to hit you?
Nope, that misses.
Oh, yeah. He misses and he goes, son of a...
I just wave.
Yeah, like he's so mad, like he's fuming. On the next turn, he's definitely gonna chase after you. You can tell.
Do I like?
Yep. You grab onto it and you start to float upward.
Okay. Cool.
Yep. And I will say, at the end of your turn, you back up to the top. You see you're back in the casino on the normal floor. And go ahead and roll a perception check for me. Uh-oh. I'll roll a...
You're going to scare the shit out of everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, real.
Nat 20!
Yeah. So
I can smell him.
I can smell him.
So, as you rise up, this crocodilian albino visage with these spiraled goat horns, you just emerge, and as you do, how tall is this creature?
At least 8 to 9.
Yeah,
10
you're
feet.
Standing up at 8 to 9 feet tall, just lurching over the constituents within the casino itself, and you see as like you're easily able to spot Crawley as he has the briefcase with him in his hand, and he's like booking it. He turns back and he goes, what the fuck? As he starts running like away, like completely out of accent. He's like running. You see as he's headed towards like the crowd area so he can try and like dip and dive to get away from you.
I'm going to use whatever's left of my movement to book after.
I would say you can get within like 20 feet of him. So cool. He's 20 feet ahead of you. Okay, Brian, you're still there. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. You see as this orb and tries to slam down into you, I assume a 15 hits you.
Yeah.
9 points of slashing damage.
Uncanny dot?
Yeah, you could take half of it, yeah.
Yes.
It's your one-time reaction, so you can lessen the blow. So it was 9, so now it's 4.
Okay.
But it hits you again. It got another 15 for 7 points of slashing damage this time.
That's less than
that. And
nine.
Last one, it got 15 again.
What the shit?
12 points of slashing. As it misses the second one, slams back down. You feel as this thing like just cuts across your body, just bit by bit. You see as slashes just hit in. Okay, end of its turn. Brian, you're up.
Here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, here's what I'm gonna do. What I'm gonna do. I'm gonna try and steal the sword from the super cool sword that like has all the Urbane. Was that his name? Urbane.
Yes.
I'm gonna try.
You're
and
gonna
steal
try
it.
And steal gonna, the sword.
Yes,
from
I am. I'm okay. gonna try.
Okay.
What do I need to roll?
You do have advantage. Too.
Yeah, you do it with advantage because you have luck on your side.
What do I need to roll?
Athletics or acrobatics versus his athletics or acrobatics.
Oh, acrobatics, you say, huh? Oh wait, that's on a slant. That would be a 24.
He got a dirty 20. So what I need you to do is you to roll a con save as you take the weapon from him.
Okay.
17.
You instantly attune to this weapon. As you grab onto it and take it from his hand, you feel as your entire forearm, you look down, goes all your veins where the gold was is purple and black.
Oh my god.
Write that down, write that down.
I will tell you what this weapon does.
Okay.
What happens to his arm?
I will get there. Okay. So it's a melee weapon attack. It does 2d6 plus 3 piercing damage.
Damn.
And then, if somebody's hit by it, they must succeed on a DC 14 dex save. Or you roll a d6, and I'll tell you what happens on that d6 whenever we get there.
With the remainder of my turn, cunning action, disengage, go to the golden orb.
Yeah, and you, boom,
hit. And I'm out of
it. Tap out.
This guy got a bitch.
You literally see, so to describe it, as you're running away, you grab it from him. Mm-hmm. This dude literally, like, he, like, you see as his left arm starts to get bigger. And he looks down at it and goes,
so be it.
And as you run away, you see as this dude is starting to turn into something different. As you boom, slam your hand onto that and it shoots up.
I wish I could have found him before I left, just to bitch him a little further.
How much more movement would you say I have? I'm just gonna get as close to Sig as I can.
Yeah. So I'm
just gonna follow after.
I would say you're able to get up next to Sig as he's boom, 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 bounding through this.
Look at the sword I found.
Hey, look at this,
Gael. Please roll another death save.
Right. Oh shit!
Y'all,
that's right.
Y'all, I'm the only other healer. You took them. You left no trail. All
right. Okay. What were we supposed
the fuck
to do?
You are.
I'm gonna stabilize Gale.
What's happening?
No. Yeah, stabilization is good. Yeah.
I'm a paladin, Sophia.
Okay. Oh, that's a lie. Yes, of course.
But
I'm
you're
so
with
sorry.
Us.
Okay.
Yeah. And you're with me.
Oh, memory, memory.
Yes. Yeah. Memory. Go ahead and give us another memory.
Every time. Oh my god.
Yeah. Every time. So. We, as this memory happens, it sort of cuts in the middle of a memory, and there are two young, let's make them up real fast, a fire genasi and a changeling dressed in the robes of Carmos. One of them has a black stole and the other has a golden stole, and they're pretty young, about like middle school age, and they are running and cackling and holding this scroll, this piece of paper, run out of the main building into this sort of courtyard that you see that has a bunch of flowers and like statues of Carmos and things that represent her. Gael comes running after them and they're cackling and they're like, this oh my god, they really wrote this poem. They wrote this poem to Carmos. Gael's in love with a goddess. The little priest in love with a goddess. And Gael's running after it, just like, give it back. That's mine. It's not like that. You don't understand. It's not. And these two kids are older and taller than Gael is, and just hold the paper back as they're trying to reach for it. And yeah, in that sort of meaningless struggle.
Lycan, as you are standing down in this crowd, you see as somebody yells, Alexi! And as they do, you see as Alexi's eyes start turning black and red pupils, and Alexi hasn't had his turn yet, but he will. And you see as this gold shoots off, you see three more gold bursts from above, and you heard somebody start to as he starts like laughing.
Wasn't the safe word, was it? The
I didn't hear it.
Safe word.
I forget what the safe word was.
No.
Shit.
Caca.
We did not caca.
That's what I was.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
What's the crowd's reaction to this?
Well, that's a great question. So all of you would be able to see as soon as somebody says Alexi, Nikita, the guy, other guy in the ring who was like casting runes, says, "I'm sorry," and he sits down. Uh-oh. And you see as Alexi starts getting ready to jump. You know that they're vaguely up there, and you see as people start like trying to get to the gold orbs as fast as possible.
Okay.
I'm gonna explain the rune, and you can tell me if you think I could do it from
absolutely.
A range.
Absolutely.
So this rune's called Brainstem.
Yeah.
The targeted creature must make a wisdom saving throw, and on a failure, the rune causes the fungus to grow on the target's brainstem, causing literal brain rot, which makes the target suffer short-term memory loss and forget who or why they are fighting. Okay. Confused, the creature loses their turn.
They have to roll a wisdom saving throw?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can I do that from a range, you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so this is a rune that she carves in the side of her neck.
23.
Okay, yeah, well, no, that does not.
So you see as
in fact,
it
works.
Hits up into the back of his skull, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
And you see as it like hits into him, he looks, side eyes you, and then continues to focus upward.
So then I'm going to touch Leo and give him Armor of Roots, which just ups your AC to 16.
Great.
That's really good. Holy shit.
Okay, that's my turn. That's my turn.
Okay.
Urbane goes.
You just see another golden burst. And as you two are running and Crawley is like screaming and like running as well, you hear more shrieks behind you and you turn over. Like, I would say you're more focused on Crawley.
Oh, without a doubt.
Brian, I would say you turn to look behind you. You see this big hulking thing of just one big eye that's has purple skin now and dark black energy radiating off of it. And he goes, "Sigvalang." And he starts walking forward as you see almost like these shadow-like shackles are holding on to him.
This is a casino.
We were going to play games.
Welcome to the casino, Ark, folks. And you
I
see as he starts taking off forward. You see as this dude starts getting up and trying to run forth.
Yep. I'm going to tack onto the end of Lycan's turn. She would have gotten onto Leo's back while doing the armor around him,
yeah,
like, as part of that with her movement, and said, "Cat, message the group. Can you message them?"
I could try.
The group chat.
Into the group chat. That's so crazy.
I can try to, yeah.
You have a message, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, you two see as this big creature starts literally like lumbering forth. Brian, you see this? Urbane has just turned into this monster. You see as like the one eye within, you see the porcelain mask that's broken and is just hugging onto the eye as it starts like forward.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
Yeah. I would say that 30 feet is enough to get up to you guys.
What? No.
Yeah, because you use 30 feet.
Nuh-uh.
Because it's focused on you, Sig, that's the only person it's focused on. I need you to make a charisma saving throw, please.
Uh-oh.
That's a 5.
You see as this crocodilian visage of you is the same, but you start to deform almost like the creature behind you. You see as like some eyes start popping up on you as you're trying to continue moving forward. Your speed is halved and you have disadvantage on ability checks and saving throws until you repeat the saving throw. So that's what it did for its turn as you start to kind of start deforming. Yeah, Leo.
Okay.
It's your turn.
I want to try to cast a message, which I point my finger towards a creature within any range and whisper a message.
Yeah.
It says you cast the spell through solid objects if you are familiar with the
yes.
target and know it beyond the barrier.
Yeah.
So
So I'm going to, I guess I could, you know, shoot it through that skylight and make it go around and make it go through to where they are.
Yeah.
Or somewhere. Yeah. So basically he's like, he's going to touch his ear and flick it out, and a mini version of his head comes up and flies up and is going to go to you, Brian.
Okay.
And is going to whisper in your ear, "Kaka, it's me, Leo. What is going on?"
And I'm assuming I can't answer
you
back.
You can.
Oh, you can?
And, yes,
oh,
you can.
Oh.
You have to do it in a whisper, though. Oh, come to the casino to get the golden orb in the room we were in. Okay. Is everyone okay? No.
Okay.
And that's all you get. Yeah.
Right, how much speed of flying? Oh, same as walking. Okay. I fly 30 feet.
Yeah, you see the orb. You can touch it if you want.
You ready? Wait, will you come
I'm
with
on
me
you.
If
I'm
I...
On
if it,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
I mean, you don't know.
Put your hand on mine. Let's touch it.
I would say easily you're both able to go up through, okay. And you pop up, and you're able... You were passing by these Kilmuli dudes, but, like, they're trying to, like, get up and, like, trying to go towards the orb themselves, but, like, because you're on, Leo, you're able to... Mm-hmm. Shoot up
yeah.
with
yeah.
and you come up, you see this hulking figure of purple and like shadow like shackles with like this one eye on the front that you can't see, but you can like see like just orange emanating from the front of it, and you see as it and keeps saying Sig's name, as you see as you see like right
That's
next to them, Sig is this crocodilian like mouth like deformed visage of the typical crocodile that he is, and you see Brian is next to him, like just like what?
He's also holding my limp
yeah,
body.
I
by
see
the
what
way.
You mean.
And you
yeah.
see, I would say you see Crawley as like running down, like jogging at a very very. He's like booking it down these stairs, trying to get towards the audience.
Yep.
That's the end of your turn.
Yep.
Elkstor. You see as Leo and Lycan out and up.
Oh, I would have said before, I'm like, they're in trouble. We're going to go there up there. Okay? This is very, very bad.
Yeah, you up.
Okay. Question.
Yes.
Is, did he jump yet?
Alexi?
Alexi.
No, Alexi has not jumped yet.
Okay.
Alexi is really low in this order.
How far away is he from me?
20 feet, but there is that translucent wall.
I'm going to regret this, but I'm going to look at Nyssa. I'm going to hop in the ring.
Okay. So you'll use your movement to go in, like to run around and go up into where like the wall kind of separates.
I can.
Because there's that.
That I can enter the ring.
You would have to use your full movement to get into that ring.
And will I still be 30 feet away from...
Yeah, you'd be 20 feet away from him.
I'm going to look at Nyssa and maybe Ignis and be like, back up, ? And I run my way up. And I'm going to use my paladin feature, Champion Challenge. So they need to make a wisdom saving throw for me. I'm going to buy
23.
You...
23.
Fuck. All right.
Quit rolling that high.
I'm sorry.
Cool. I'm
Put
going
to
then
so
cast Command and say Brawl. And
okay,
they
he
need
has
to
make another wisdom save.
Another wisdom save.
What do you even be like?
Yes.
Does a 16 save?
Yeah, it does.
Yep, he saves.
Fuck. Well, that's the end of my turn.
Your turn, yep. You see as this dude is focused. End your turn. Through this entire thing, as you like run, Alexador runs toward the ring. These other Kilmuli are just like running all over the place. They're like, what do we do? As like they all start like kind of running, and you see as like the two near like up top, you see two more flashes go, and you hear as those two dudes shift back up into where all of this is happening, and they kind of just like, I would say for this circumstance, they don't know what to do because there's like so much going on that no matter what, there's going to be an issue. So like they see this big creature, they're going to start trying to attack, attack Urbane because they see this just hulking creature. And they're like, what? They don't know this dude. They don't know what this whole deal is. He could be after as well because he's moving the same direction. You see as one of those guys run up, they hit, misses. Next dude runs up, tries to next dude that goes is Crawley. You see as Crawley uses his full movement to he starts, he jumps on top of one of the railings that, like, leads down towards, like, throughout the crowd, and he, like, that goes down towards the front of the Colosseum where, like, the ring is around the racers. You see as he sits on that and slides down, and you see as he on top, like in the center of this big ring where there's this big racetrack, you see as the racers are starting to come up, you see these like a bunch of different animals. You see Grimalkin, these furry beasts that look exactly like Annika, but just different shades, like tawny brown, these different like spots and stuff as they start. You also see these almost like dinosaur like long necked green creatures known as fastiths, which have these big tails that wag behind them as they, as well as just a couple different creatures throughout the whole group, right? And you see as he jumps off the side and lands on top of riding on the back of one of the fastiths as he jumps down to there. That's what you see. That's the end of his turn. The second dude's gonna try and hit Urbane. Misses first one, misses second one. Those other guys are all just trying to figure out what's happening. Alexi's turn. Alexi immediately jumps. You see as there's a necklace on him that sways, and you see as he jumps into the wall, he passes through as it lights up, and he jumps onto the railing, and he climbs over and books it, and you see another flash as someone else goes away. He's used all of his movement, so that's the end of his turn, but he also teleports up. Okay, Sig, you are up. You currently have Gael in your hands. You are being disformed with these, like, eyes, and, like, you feel as parts of your body start to, like, almost, like, puff up like mushrooms to an extent, but don't look like mushrooms specifically.
How far away is the kill mole?
So he moved a full 60 feet because he used a 60-foot dash.
Shit.
Because he was already 20 feet ahead of you. Mm-hmm. So he's 80 feet away from you currently.
That's lovely. Okay, well, I can't do anything about him anymore. I'm going to use one of my actions to stabilize Gael.
Okay, go ahead and roll a medicine check for me, please.
21.
Yeah, you successfully stabilize Gael. As you successfully stabilize Gael, you hear us, Sigvalang.
And then I'm going to immediately slide Gale's body away from me.
Yeah.
So just like towards the roulette table, you're just going to
Gael next to it. Slides to the side.
So am I at like
one? You're at, zero. You're at zero.
But I'm up.
But you're unconscious currently. Yes. Oh, you're stable. Great. You're stable.
Yes.
What are you doing,
Thank
Sig?
Fuck.
Because that was your action. You have a bonus action left as you see this big hulking creature behind you.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to do the Blood Curse of Binding and amplify it against him again.
Okay. What's he have to roll?
A strength saving throw, DC 13.
Strength saving throw.
Damn it,
throw.
And I took 6 necrotic.
He got an 11.
So he fails. His movement speed is 0 and he has no reactions for 1 minute.
How does this look on him?
So I basically put out all 4 of my arms and just grab him in the air, and then all these hands from mirror dimensions and smoke trails start grabbing onto him and anchor him into the ground.
Yeah, you see as he's like being forced down into the ground almost, he's like wailing in response.
Yeah, so larger, smaller, 30 feet. Strength saving throw, speed is reduced to 0, and no reactions. They can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of its turns to end the curse. And then I'm gonna back up as far as I can. I know my speed is half.
Okay, so he can't take reactions, so he can't swipe at you.
Yep.
Okay, end your turn?
Yep.
Alrighty, now it's Nissa's turn. Nissa, seeing all of this crazy stuff go on, is like, oh, all right, and their immediate response is they run to one of the pillars underneath the second landing and they just start climbing with their forearms, and they're able to jump up and dash and shoot up back up towards the top. And they had to use their dash action, so that's the end of their turn.
Oh, wait, could I have made that saving throw again?
Yes. Yes, you can.
What is it?
Charisma save.
Oh, yeah, fuck. 6.
Yep.
Not getting away from that.
Nope, not getting away from it. So that's the end of their turn because they used their whole thing. This orb has depowered because nobody who's considered a threat is within its area anymore. So that's the end of its turn. Brian, you're up.
Excellent.
You see as this dude is being shackled by these shadow shackles as well as these shadow hands that Sig was able to use in his crocodilian version and was able to back up. And you saw Gael slide to the left unconscious but stable.
And everybody clap your hands.
Welcome. And at this point, Crawley has like gotten away.
Crawley is currently, he's 80 feet away from you. He just jumped onto a Fasteeth, which is like this dino-like thing that's running. But if you run at the same time and you're able to catch up to him, you could potentially try and jump onto another ride and follow after him.
Do we have the briefcase, or does he still have it?
He still has it.
He still has that briefcase?
He still has that briefcase.
Interesting.
Isn't it?
Okay. Yeah. Cunning action dash, so yep. I have 60 feet of movement.
Yep, so 60 feet, he's 20 feet away.
Did he just get on the steed? Like, it's yeah. right there?
Yep.
So he hasn't moved at all on the steed?
Yeah, this is happening in 6 seconds. Each round is a 6 second span, so...
I couldn't remember if he had gotten on and started
moving. It's maybe slightly like a 5 foot, like, difference,
okay.
But...
Okay, wait. Okay,
yeah.
Am I able to get on a steed while I'm right there? Is there one that I can reach within that 60 feet?
Yes. So you run down the steps, are able to make it to the edge. You see as a Grimalkin with a rider. Each one had a rider on it, but you see as a Grimalkin with a rider is passing by.
I don't want to attack him.
Yeah.
But if it's possible, can I use the sword in such a way that it wraps around him like a whip and yanks him off?
I will let you roll a luck check because you have advantage, but roll me an acrobatics check, which also has advantage because you have this liquid luck in you.
Acrobatics first.
Acrobatics first, so you can make sure you actually make it on there.
That is a 28.
Yep, that fucking makes it. Yes. I wonder if it'll happen. Yeah, so you make it on there, and if you want, you could just grab this dude and try and...
Yeah, it's probably nicer. I'll do that.
Just roll... Okay, so you jumped. This will be your action because I'll count the acrobatics as part of that movement to continue to fly forward.
Okay.
I know that's not how this game works, folks, but this is a cool fucking thing, and I'm letting it go. Don't get on my ass. Yeah, you see as you jump out trying to grab onto this Grimalkin.
I'm rolling luck, you said?
Yep, roll luck. Oh wait, no. I didn't need you to roll luck because you weren't doing the wraparound thing. You were just pulling him off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you just because this dude's not expecting it. You see and he goes, "What the fuck?" as he goes back, and you are now on this Grimalkin. You see on the hilt, so on this saddle of this Grimalkin, you see a crossbow that has green energy shooting off of it, like inside of the cartridge where there would be like arrows. And you see in front of you, you see as Crawley's like holding on to the back of this Fasteeth as this rider is riding, trying to like push him off. That's the end of your turn.
I used my action.
Yep.
All right, well, I know what I'm doing next
Gale,
time.
Gale, you're unconscious.
Yep.
Sure am.
Lycan, you're up. You now are up top.
Uh-huh.
You didn't move, right? Because you guys just teleported
up there. I was stuck with whatever, yeah.
Yeah, so you teleported up there. Mm-hmm. You now see as Alexi is now next to you. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have enough movement to continue to move, but he's now next to you. You see Gael to the left off towards the roulette table has been slid over.
Right.
You see this being shackled down by these shadow-like hands and trying to get back up. That is Urbane. You see Leo beneath you because you're currently on top of Leo.
Yeah.
You see Brian just ran and jumped off from the middle of the Colosseum and onto a ride. And you see as Crawley is off in the distance, like being chased by Brian.
How far is Gale from me?
I would say Gale would be about 30 feet from you.
Where does Alexi look like they're going?
You would know that he's focused on Brian because he's looking off towards the distance because somebody's chasing after Crawley.
Could I sense that Gale is stable?
Yeah, I mean, you can see that they're breathing. That they're breathing, but they're just like full eyes closed. They are breathing and they're sitting. They're not bleeding out or anything.
Okay, I'm going to use the blood siphon on Alexi.
What's Alexi got to roll?
Make a perception check first. I have to make a sleight of hands.
Oh, perception check.
Yes, yep, and then yep. You roll with disadvantage from there if that's true.
Terrible, terrible perception.
No, also terrible sleight of hands. So nine?
He got less. He got
okay,
four.
Great. So now you roll the con save at disadvantage.
Disadvantage. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's a lot better. That's a 9 now.
Okay, so then you'll take the full damage.
Okay, they Alexi will take the full amount.
20 points of necrotic damage. Okay. I'm now up to the, because I had some from the pretest too. Mm-hmm. 34 total.
Yeah.
Is the wizard spell immediate or is that later? I could just...
You, it's on your next turn.
Got it.
Like, okay. Any turn in the future, you can now use a wizard spell.
Okay. Yeah. Lycan jumps on Alexi and kind of does a chokehold and drives a barbed roots into the sides of their neck and clavicle.
Okay. Yeah, you see as it starts digging into him. He's more of a construct, so he can feel it, but he's like in not as much pain as like a normal person would be, but he's like trying to grab onto you to...
Down, get down, down.
No, no.
You see as he's trying to like grab onto you.
I didn't think through my bonus action. I think, yeah, I think that is my turn.
Alrighty. That's Urbane's turn. So I need you to make another charisma saving throw for me, please.
Why is it charisma of all things? Oh, he's a warlock, isn't he? That's an 18.
It's an 18. You take 22 points of damage.
I'm fine.
As you see, as he looks to you and his slitted, like, center eye that you can see between the cracked porcelain mask starts to thrum. For a second, Sig, as you are looking into this, in this crocodilian visage, you're like, poof, slammed back from, like, your consciousness, and you're, like, floating in your own head. And as you are floating here, you see as the crocodilian visage that you're normally used to starts to swirl around you, and he goes,
"This isn't working out, Sig. Give in and it works."
I'm good. Fun fact, I'm stronger than you.
Funny.
And as soon as he says funny, you're back, thrown back into your own visage, and you're, I would say that you are still in this crocodilian visage, but you're still being malformed and stuff because you haven't saved from this. End of Urbane's turn. Leo, you're up. You see as Lycan jumps on top of Alexi. Alexi's trying to throw her off. You see this big hulking purple guy with claws and everything on him.
I'm gonna say freeze, and I'm gonna use two pointer fingers and go and shoot like two rays of frost at his feet so he can't move.
Smart. That's not how it mechanically works, but I know what you're saying.
No, yeah. I don't know how to do it. Its speed is reduced by 10 feet until the start of its next turn.
Yep.
But that one doesn't hit.
That one does not hit.
That's all I can do.
Okay. So you see as it like kind of misses and he's able to get out of the way. Elxador, it's now your turn. You saw as this dude just jumped out of here and now you're in the ring downstairs by yourself. And you see as Ignaz is on the side going, "Looking good, buddy." As he puts his thumb up in the air.
I'm all alone. Alone.
All right.
By myself.
So everyone is...
So all the other people, like, now that Alexi's gone, everyone is kind of calmed down and gone, like, just gathering their things, just getting ready to leave.
I'm gonna try and skip ahead everyone and go towards, like, the bottom ones and try and end up in the front of the casino.
Yeah, I would say you could spend your whole action going over there, and you would pop up, let's say, in the mushroom cart area, and you see as people are kind of running, dispersing in different directions, you can tell everything going on is going to the right of you, towards, like, the northeast.
I gotcha. And then I'm on the first floor, so, like...
Yep, you're on the first... They're all on the... Everyone's now on the first floor. Yes.
Cool. And I just use my movement for that.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely. Also, I forgot to say that Nyssa is up next to you two because they are now there.
Okay.
Because they teleported up there as well.
Am I able to see anyone?
I would say you see Gael off to the side, like kind of like just like probably about 30 feet from you where you are currently. I would change that. It's probably about 60 feet because you showed up in a different area.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to hold my action. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to hold a Eldritch Blast ready.
Yeah.
So whenever I see anyone trying to come towards the entrance, I'm going to be a little sniper. And that will be the end of my turn.
Okay, great. In your turn. Those other Kilmooly dudes are still slashing at Urbane as he's being... They miss the first one, miss literally the second one. You see as Crawley, with the dude in front of him, stabs down into this dude and throws him off and grabs onto the Fasteath and like whips down on this Fasteath. Brian, go ahead and roll me a perception check to see if you can see where he's headed.
Absolutely. 16.
16. as you look forth, you see as Crawley is charging forth using this fasteath, this dinosaur-like mount underneath him that moves 50 feet forward. 100 feet ahead of you, you see this small opening in this gate that is slightly lowered that seems to have a space wide enough for somebody as small as Crawley to get through, but maybe not you. This is about 100 feet away as he's charging 50 feet forward, closing the distance. This archway is one of those entrances that you believe would be used to store the different mounts and the different rides, as you see as he treads and charges forth, and that is what he uses his turn to do. The other little Kilmuli misses and misses again. These guys are terrible. Okay, Alexi's turn. You are currently trying to attack him, yes? Lycan?
Ah, sorry.
You're okay. Yes. You're currently attacking Alexi. You see as Alexi, because you're not actually grappling him, he gets out of your space, and you see as he kind of like throws you upward, and as he continues to run forward, he looks back, and as he holds his hand up, you see as purple flame turns into a watery blue. I need you to make a strength saving throw for me, please.
Is it a spell?
It is a spell.
Counterspell.
You need to roll to counterspell it because it's not third level.
Okay. I'm going to do something crazy.
Okay.
I'm going to activate my Tides of Chaos.
Okay.
Which basically gives me advantage. But okay. The next time I do a spell that is above first level or higher, I automatically roll on the wild magic.
Oh. Okay.
So you see Leo see that, like, he threw her into the air. And you see this visage of Leo as he's, like, sees the blue and his head, like, cocks down, and whenever the dude like blinks at Leo, he turns red with the black eye.
Oh shit.
As he holds his hand up to cast the counter spell.
Okay.
Oh, watch me get two nat ones.
Don't say that.
No. Not again.
You're gonna get two nat 20s. That's what I'm saying.
Dirty 20.
Oh, yeah. You see as the spell fizzles, you see as this orb of water starts to form around Lycan, and then it pops and Lycan just lightly like lands on the ground, not scathed or anything.
I turn to Alexi and I go, "You don't touch her." Okay. As you see his head do the plane shift and go like, as it's just like full like crimson red body with a black eye, just as still as he's ever been, just staring at him as he's like floating in the air.
You see as Alexi looks to you, he grabs from his back and he slams down a silver vial into his thigh, and you see as his veins go gold. He goes,
"Noted."
And he starts running off. You see as he starts running forward, still focused on Brian.
And then he shifts back to his normal blue, like, "Are you okay?"
Yeah, and as soon as you see, let me just make sure. Okay, he needs to make a con save. Okay, so as Alexi slams this vial of luck into him, his veins go gold, and for a second, an orb starts to form around him in like a 15-foot radius of around him just goes from being all color to black and white as he starts running off down. He has about 60 feet of movement. He's towards the edge of the stadium to jump down onto some people, but he's still 50 feet away from you right now and 100 feet away from Crawley. Sig, you're up. You have a lot of health, man.
Cool, I know, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, I am bloodied now. I have to roll Bloodlust.
Yep.
It's DC 8 Intelligence. 14 plus 2. We're chill.
You're all good.
I'm just gonna walk up and do some predatorial strikes.
Okay. Down onto Urban.
Yep, might as well.
Okay.
12 and 18.
12 and 18. The 18 hits, not the 12.
18 hits. Okay. That is 5 slashing and 4 psychic.
Okay.
I'm gonna bonus action do another.
Okay.
That is 15 to hit.
15, yeah, that hits.
And that is 5 slashing and 6 psychic.
Nice. Yeah, you see as this dude is like in like absolutely outraged as he's like being held here and is like just trying to break out of it. He's trying to move and everything.
I punched him a bunch and then I'm just gonna back up again.
Yep.
Out of his reach.
He can't take a reaction.
And then I'm gonna roll to get out of his.
Yeah. Go ahead and roll.
good.
Motherfucker!
It's seven. I've gone six. I've gone five, six, seven.
Are you at like zero pluses?
Negative one.
Oh shit. Okay.
That's the end of my turn.
All right. What can Nissa do without their bow?
Take the sword.
Because their bow is their spellcast focus. So they're going to run up towards Urbane and clasp their hands on his head and try and do a cantrip. Oh, thank God. They just got a 14. Okay, so you see as Nissa runs up, all four of their hands grab onto this dude's head and electricity and tries to fry down into him, dealing 8 points of lightning damage. Okay, that's the end of Nissa's turn. Brian, you're up.
Okay, two questions.
Yes.
If I wanted to dash, would I be able to get the Grimalkin to dash?
So what you need to do is you need to roll me an animal handling check. If you roll under a certain DC, then what you're trying to do will be halved. So if you're trying to make them go faster, they'll like do only like half of their speed.
Okay. Animal handling is at the beginning of my turn?
At the beginning of your turn. It does not count as an action. It's just part of you being on top of this creature.
Excellent.
Yeah.
13?
You lucky dog. That was the literal DC I had set. for Grimalkin. The other ones are different. Each animal is different. So Grimalkin can run 60 feet.
Okay, so if I wanted to dash, it'd be 120. I could catch up to Crawley.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
How far is he from me right now?
So he would have dashed with his thing, so 100 feet away. You could make it up to there. But you see, like, in this next turn, he will be able to get underneath that thing because this thing can dash and he can jump under.
Okay, yeah, I'm just going to go for it. Cunning action dash, I'll get within range of the sword. So within 15 feet of
it. Within 15 feet.
I'm going to attack, sneak attack, and do a shit ton of damage.
Question, just in case, yes. Are you rolling lethal or are you rolling?
Non-lethal.
Non-lethal.
I would like to leave him with one.
With zero and just bring him back up.
Then unconscious, yes.
I'm just asking.
Yes. Non-lethal.
Okay, go ahead and roll.
With this little whip sword.
Yeah, so you use the dash of the Grimalkin.
Yes.
And you're up next to him.
Yes.
Okay.
And then and does a 23 hit.
Believe it or not, it does.
Yes. All right, and sneak attack, so that's what is that, 3d6? So that's Holy shit. Oh. Okay, so that's 24 damage.
Okay, and then he also needs to make
saving throw. The saving throw.
He passes.
Fuck.
You see as he's still up, you slash out. It cuts across him. You see blood starting to drip down his body.
I'm going to move right in front of him and just try to block him from moving.
Okay, I'll see if he can roll an animal handling check whenever it gets to his turn to get away out of the way from you.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, great. Lycan, you're up. You just saw as Alexi ran off, tried to put you in this bubble or sphere of water.
How far is Alexi from me?
Alexi is 60 feet away.
Yeah, okay, no. I'm going to go over to Gale. And I'm going to cast Blessed Blossom. So Lycan's going to pluck two blossoms from her crown and place one on Gale's chest and like one in Gale's mouth, kind of stuff it in there. And just with those blooms, the blooms themselves wilt, leaving their like this pinkish healing energy to flow into Gale's body, and then they'll heal. The lowest possible. I rolled two ones, but it's total of five HP because it's plus my rune casting mod. Yeah.
Great.
Wow, that's embarrassing. Anyway, the flower doesn't taste bad this time. It tastes like kind of like honey as it like disintegrates into your mouth and lichens in your face. You okay, Gale? You okay?
I think so. Yes.
She gets off you and like stands to the side.
Gale's in assertive daze is gonna look at you and say, I'm sorry I've been mad at you. I just...
We really need to go. It's okay. It's okay.
Yep.
I understand. I'm annoying sometimes.
No.
Let's get you up.
Oh, right.
And yep. She tries, but she's also, like, 3 foot tall. Yeah.
But I like, maybe there's a table or something that I can grab and, like,
yeah, get you're to able my feet. To, yeah, you're able, yeah. able to grab the roulette table behind you. And you're yep. able to get up.
No, I think that's my turn.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's Urbane's turn. He can't take any attacks. He can if somebody's near him. Okay, so he's... You're still...
out of his reach.
Well, but he's still able to see you with yes. that big eye. You yes. need to make another charisma saving throw for me, please.
He needs to just quit. I will kill him. That's a nat 20.
Okay, so what I'm going to say is you'll take a fourth of this since it's a natural 20.
Yippee!
That's how I'll roll that.
Hopefully it's not a...
7 points of damage because you take a fourth of it.
What type of damage is it?
This is, psychic damage.
Okay.
So you see as this eye seeps into your soul and once more you like start to feel it, but you're able to keep yourself in the full consciousness
yeah.
as you feel it. Almost like a quick headache that's like almost like a hot flash and a headache at the same time as it... Yeah. In it, you're able to stabilize yourself. End of Urbane's turn. Roll.
Yeah, you can make a saving.
What's he need to beat?
13.
What is it, wisdom? What
strength.
That's 17.
Word.
You see as he... like, grabs some of the arms and slams them down and stands up and says, "You can't rely on tricks anymore," as he stands up. Leo, your turn. You see as this big beast is starting to stand up, Alexi is 60 feet off in the distance, still boof, 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 boof.
How far is Urbane?
So we have Urbane. Urbane is 30 feet where Sig is nearby, like 10 feet off to the side
okay.
so that Urbane can't hit him. Urbane has just broken out of his shackles. Alexi is 60 feet down running after Brian. Brian is about 200 feet, like actually probably even more, like 300 feet out and like all the way down. You can barely see Brian, but you know that yeah. Alexi's headed for him.
How far is Lycan from Urbane?
I would say 20 feet because she's over near Gale.
Okay.
Yeah. Like,
I need to let out energy. Whatever happens, Sig, I'm sorry. And you see like the eye glow and all of the energy that's bouncing out, it goes into his head and
yep.
shoots out. I'm going to do lightning bolt again.
Absolutely.
He has to do a dexterity saving throw of 14.
Yeah.
Or take half as much damage.
Oh my god, he got a 10.
All right. Let's hope this place isn't flammable.
It is not. It's made of stone. Where are you pointing it?
As nowhere near her. At him.
Directly through him or towards the ground?
Towards the ground. I'll say I go over and shoot
okay.
through the ground.
I'm just asking.
35 lightning damage.
Holy shit.
And I'm going to Wild Magic Surge. 36. Wait, how old is Leo?
Did you age?
I've been alive for 6 years.
Yeah, you've been alive for 6 years.
And for this, is as I roll an odd number, I get younger. If I roll an even number, I get older. I rolled a 7.
Which means
I would be negative 1 year old.
Okay.
How okay. does one?
Okay, give me a fucking second.
No, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. What the fuck just happened? What the fuck just happened? What will we do?
Wait, please stop. I have to think about how I need to.
Is he just gonna blink out of existence?
That's not fair.
Because this is weird, because...
Oh, he... Okay, well, he was originally connected to another being?
I don't know what this was.
That other poor being just like... They're like, oh, I'm gonna go wash the dishes.
Oh, God.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Wait.
If you're old enough, you get younger. Minimum of 1 year old.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That could have been so funny.
You scared the shit. I was like, I literally have to kill you. I don't.
No, I'm. Okay. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. So I'm.
Pants shitted.
Yeah, you're one. It doesn't really change.
It doesn't change me. So I'm like,
you still have the same level of experience. You're just now younger.
Yeah.
So, but
no.
Here's what I will say, Leo. As you are standing here, you cast this lightning bolt from your eye, right?
You see him like shoot it down, and you see the like I said, the blur and the shift of and like the rainbow colors of him like going through planes and just shooting this downwards.
Okay. As you begin to shift, you go out of your typical like consciousness and like you're looking down, you see as it like shoots yeah. down, and in this you start seeing somewhere different. You see a visage of trees that have like lights and houses, and you hear the crying of yourself as if you are a baby humanoid rather than this being of arcane energy. Mm-hmm. You feel and you look down and you see gray skin with golden runes etched across your body, and you blink back into yourself. And for this purpose, I'm going to say you lose. So you minus one total to wisdom, not intelligence, because you're now like you start forgetting some things, not like a bunch of things, but some things that are like, OK, I know how to do this because I did this thing in the past. But I would say that's what you see. Okay. And that's what occurs.
OK, I wonder if like Leo, like, and you could, if you want this to happen or not, I wonder if he like does this and he's like screaming and then he just disappears
for a second and then like pops back up.
Pops back and he's like floating in the air as the colors are still hitting him.
It's absolutely. Like... Yeah, you see as you're like just floating and spiraling for a second, you almost feel like you were thrown elsewhere.
What happened?
And that's the end of your turn. Yes. Elxador. You are standing at this door.
Okay. Yeah.
Posed and ready. Yes. In case somebody comes towards the door to get past you.
Okay, can I find the like the staff or some security guy?
You a lot of these guys are like, they were not trained to deal with this level of stuff. You see as like people are going to go get the Agoshan watch. Like that's what's...
Can I go outside to the dwarf and the Goliath guy who took our weapons?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yes, you can.
All right. I'm gonna run out
and you see this dwarf with the black duster and the purple sunglasses. And you see Gustav, the big ice genasi.
Yeah. I'm going to whip out my badge, like, a private investigator. I need at least one of my weapons. There's a threat inside. The rest of the staff are trying to get everyone out. I need you.
You see as Gustav holds out the weapons to him.
Cool. Fucking chain whip and my trident. And I'm going to try and, if I'm able to convince them to at least help me or something.
Okay, you see as the dwarf goes, absolutely not. And Gustav goes... Mm-hmm. And shrugs and starts walking with you.
Cool. I toss him my trident and we're going in.
You see as he gives it back to you.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Starts walking forward.
All right. And we're gonna move as far as we can towards there. Okay. And I'll also use my action to dash, try and get closer.
Okay. He can get 30 feet because he doesn't have a dash. But
that's fine.
You get 60 feet in.
Yeah. And once I get close enough, I'm still going to, like, pull out the badge again. And I'm like, everyone stop now. Under the Agoshan watch.
Okay. So as you raise, you're still about probably, like, 40 feet away from everything going on.
I know.
As you're, like, walking forward, you just hear this as Urbane is, like, finally able to get up. And he's clearly not paying attention. But all the other Kilmoolies are, like, they're, like, putting their hands up and they're sitting down on the ground.
Yes, I just need the staff and the Kilmoolies to know that.
Yep, you see as the Kilmoolies start stepping back away from this dude because they're, like, we can't handle this.
Yep, okay. And that's my turn.
Okay, one of them goes down. It is now Crawley's turn.
Yes.
Okay. Crawley has to make a steering check, an animal handling check. I will see he does not have animal handling as a skill. So that means it is a flat wisdom roll.
Let's give him bad vibes, guys.
Manifest bad.
He got a natural 20.
What?
Are you fucking...
Who was it? Who was it manifesting?
It was my luck. Shit.
Oh, no.
Fuck.
So you see as Crawley...
Can you please Akira slide the horse?
I was going to
say that. So you see as this fasty, this like lizard reptilian-like beast... As Crawley continues forward, you see as he's able to swerve out of the way, and you see as Crawley does a duck, jumps off, and ducks and rolls. Because he's able to go around you, he has more feet to not be in... opportunity attack range of you because
was I not already within range of him?
No, because remember you said you went in front of him.
Yeah, like right in front.
Oh, directly in front of him. Okay, so you do get an opportunity attack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you do get an opportunity attack.
Cool.
Go ahead and roll an opportunity attack.
Oh, thank God. Does a 25 hit?
25 hits, but you can't use sneak attack because it's a reaction.
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately.
And this is lethal or non-lethal?
Non-lethal.
Okay.
I'm just hoping.
Just got to clarify.
To knock him out. That would be a 14. 14 damage. 14 damage.
You see, as you slice into this dude, you see blood still gushing, and he jumps over you and rolls underneath.
What about the save? Oh, yeah, the save.
What save?
The
Oh, you're right.
The deck save.
He has to roll the deck save.
Please.
Well, that's what it is. It's deck saving throw. I'll tell you what he has for dex. He is a +6 to dex. So he has to get eight or higher.
Oh, boy.
Maybe don't send bad vibes to the gems. That didn't work.
He got a natural one. Okay. Roll a d6 for me.
Yeah, do I roll two? Because he got that one? Or is that not how that works?
You roll one d6.
That's fine. That's totally fine. No, I don't. That's a 6.
You see, as he is knocked prone, halfway through, you're able to stab up into him. He's bleeding, but he's not, like, dead or anything. He's still alive and awake. And he falls down onto the ground. He has to use half of his movement to stand up. And he's going to run 15 feet, and he's right at it, but he can't get into underneath. So he's currently trying to run underneath, okay?
Get over here.
That's the end of his turn. You see as he's, like, booking it. Meanwhile, so you see as Alexi is 60-foot movement. He doesn't have the ability to dash, but you see as he is running, you see this orb of black and white surrounding him. He is 60 feet away from you at the end of his turn.
Yeah.
Sig, it is now your turn.
Cool. That's cool. Well, I gotta make my bloodlust roll.
Yes.
That's a 19 plus 2, so we're good.
Okay, you're good.
And you're not affected by him, right?
This session is crazy.
No.
I'm going to attack our friend in front.
Yeah, Urbane.
Urbane. Well, one of them's a nat one. That's not going to do anything. 15 to hit?
Yeah, 15 hits.
I will kill him. He deserves death now.
He cannot come back again.
That is 8 bludgeoning and 5 psychic.
He is now starting to look bloody. You see as, like, he from his eyes, you see, like, black ichor is... From the one soul eye, you see his black ichor is starting to roll down, like, it's, like... A amorphous chin.
I'm gonna do my blood curse of binding.
Okay. What's he need to roll?
DC 13.
Wisdom.
Strength. I'm gonna.
Wow, he got a goddamn 12.
And I'm gonna amplify it so it lasts for a minute at least, so okay. I take 3 damage. And then I'm gonna back up.
You see, as it. All these hands grab down onto him, and he's like. As he's like yelling out, he hasn't even been able to.
So you like these tricks?
Full turn on you.
You like these tricks?
At the end, is that the end of your turn?
Yeah, that's the end of my turn.
Okay.
That's kind of crazy, dude.
Nissa is still next to this dude. So Elxador, you're 40 feet away.
Yeah.
Nissa runs 30 feet back to and holds out their hand for the bow. So next turn that they can start using some of their spells.
There we go.
That's the end of their turn. Brian, you are up. You see this dude in front of you. He's like slow-mo running, trying to like go underneath, and you're still able to like keep fall. Like you are on this Grimalkin.
Can I effectively? I want to scoop him up and then run away with him on the Grimalkin, but I want him to be, you know, like grappled, but I don't know if I can do
So
that.
The Grimalkin can move.
Yeah.
I'll say you can try and do a grapple to grab him
and then
as your action and use the Grimalkin's movement to run.
And I can still bonus action, cunning action, dash and still
If you jump off of him to dash, because you can't use the Grimalkin to dash.
Didn't I do that before?
Yes, as its action, you can use that. So you can use its movement and action, but it doesn't have a bonus action.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you can move 120 feet away.
Okay.
But you still have to try and grapple him.
Okay.
And you have to roll the animal handling check.
Okay, well, I'll roll that first. Just
animal handling check first.
18.
Yeah, that you're fine.
Beautiful. I want to pick him up and like grapple him, get him on so to the Grimalkin.
So acrobatics.
Yeah.
It's an acrobatics off because he's better with acrobatics.
Excellent. So am I.
Yep.
No way. They're both 12s. That's crazy. So 21.
Yeah, he didn't come close to that. You see as he's like, come on, come on, come on, come on. He's trying to like get there and you grab him by like his green emerald tunic and scoop him up. And now you have him as he's like, no, no, no. It's like trying to crawl, like claw at your back. He still has his dagger in his hands though.
That's fine. Grimalkin is going to dash.
Yeah, 120 feet.
It would be really funny if I just ran past Alexi, then he can catch up to me on his turn, so I don't want to do that. I'm just going to keep running around the track.
Okay, so yeah, you move another 120 feet.
And then do I still have my bonus action? Because I grappled and then the Grimalkin dashed.
Yeah.
So I still have my bonus action?
Yeah.
Excellent. Can I drink this potion of greater healing?
Yes, it's a bonus action, but you have to roll it.
Yeah,
use an action to...
That's totally fine. I will be doing that because I don't want to die.
Okay.
I thought I rolled all fours. I rolled 3 4s and a 3. So that's 15 plus 4, 19.
Nice. Okay, Gail, you're up.
Sure am. Oh, man. So Gail, leaning on this table, pulls out the book, focuses on Irving. Can I get a constitution save?
Probably. Yes, you can.
10. So he fails.
14. So he fails.
Yeah.
So as Gail picks up their quill again, flick through, set it on a very specific page. It's, for a moment, it's like all of the sound goes out of the room. And you would slowly hear a little crinkle of like glass shards coming together to assemble an intricate stained glass window of the symbol of Karmos in front of Gail. And as they flick their quill, it shatters and sinks right into what's his name?
Urbane.
Into Urbane. This is Shatter.
Great.
And I'm casting it at third level.
Great. Okay, go ahead, roll damage.
So that is 13 points of damage.
Great.
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 Great. And then I'm going to... Can you bonus action a greater healing potion?
But you have to roll for it.
Yep. Great. So then with my bonus action, I'm going to drink a greater healing potion.
Great.
And I'm rolling d4, right?
Perfect. Yeah, and just go ahead. I'll just keep going forward.
Yes, no.
You're doing perfectly fine.
I shan't lie about
Yeah, you
what
see
I
as
did,
it shatters down into Urbane. Lycan, you're up.
I'm going to use putrescence. So I'm going to go up to him. Since he's pinned, I'm going to like put my hands on his chest.
Yeah.
He has to make a con saving throw.
Con save.
We'll see how that does.
Okay, that's a 9. I'm rolling awful now.
Yeah! Sorry. Okay, 2d12. Again, her barbarous root-like hands reach into his skin. It's 12 necrotic damage.
Okay,
like pull 12. His life force out of him.
Yeah, this dude is looking like you see Iker is starting to like ooze out of like different just spots of him as it starts to like puddle around him.
If I move back, he's restrained, so he wouldn't have an attack of opportunity.
Correct.
So I'm gonna move back and kind of hide behind Leo.
Okay, great.
That's it.
Urbane's turn. He can't move. Nobody's close enough to him. He's going to roll strength. Got a 16. Finally breaks out. It's the end of his turn. Okay, Leo. This dude's still standing. You see as he's starting to get up, and he's really trying. You see, like, even though this Iker is puddling around him, he is trying to stand back up and get there and just try and take out Sig if that's the last thing he does. I need you to roll a charisma save for me, please.
That's a 7.
Okay. You take 40 points damage.
This is okay.
Fucking
you see as...
I'm dead by 20 points.
You don't die full out. So you see as...
No.
You see as you immediately, like, you lock eyes with his one soul eye between the porcelain mask once more, and you poof, hit back down onto the ground. Completely unconscious. And you hear as he starts to... finally. And he slumps down and he knocks unconscious.
He's dead. Wait, what happened?
What the heck just happened?
You guys are out of initiative. You see as Brian is still running around on this Grimalkin off in the distance.
Right. Wait, what about Alexi?
He's chasing me.
Alexi is chasing.
Do you shift back?
You said out of initiative.
Yeah, you see as Sig.
Yeah, I return to normal, bloodied, beaten, covered with these weird warts.
Sprint.
Different eyes poking out.
Okay.
Bonus action, you get 1d6 plus 3. Okay. 3. So, 9. Go over to Boyo. Is he still one-eyed creature form?
He is, but you see as...
I didn't do my turn at all.
I know. Leo's turn, whatever you're doing.
Okay. Now that he's down, how far away is Alexi?
Alexi's like 120 feet across this field away from you.
I'm just gonna use my turn to go over to you and make sure you're okay.
Cool. Great. Okay. Elxador, because you said it already, you heal him back up.
How many points?
Yeah, 9.
You see as Urbane starts to wake back up.
Oh, I see now.
I need to make the roll.
Yep.
What kind of curse is this?
What's the DC? We didn't decide on a DC. That's 16.
Okay, then you're good.
This feels like a sentry situation.
Yeah, you come back up and you see as Urbane starts to... Damn it! As he starts to...
Hey, I remember you.
Sorry, Sig.
I'm gonna knock you out.
Okay, I'll say easily, boof, you knock Sig out.
Does he go out?
You see as he...
Cool.
Slams on the ground.
Oh, they are lethal.
But it has to be lethal, so he's taking...
Oh, it has to?
If you want him to be out.
I'm going to do both. So, wait, so it has to be lethal? Like, if I knock him unconscious...
You can find out.
Christ.
Well, okay, but when he was there, death sentence.
I know. Yeah, you do what you want.
I hated everything about
that. That was crazy. Oh, man.
Oh, wow, 2 8s. But that's still plus 7 to both of those. So.
And you miss.
I miss.
You whiff.
Whatever.
Urbane is still up. Okay, end your turn?
Yeah.
Okay, going through Kilmalee's. Crawley can't do anything in this moment because you are, I would say... he's going to try and stab down into you, but let me see what he gets. Okay, that hits. He's going to deal 5 points of piercing damage as he stabs a dagger down into you.
Not if I use uncanny dodge.
Yes, you take no damage. That's fine. He gets a second attack with his dagger.
Two. I take 2 damage.
And he misses.
Yes! I take 2 damage.
Yeah, you take 2 damage.
Yeah.
And you see as he misses on the second one, he's like, get off of me, get, as he's trying to like, he's like stabbing into you, I will take you down, as he's trying to stab down into you. Okay, Alexi is still, actually, this is what you see happens. So he spends 60 feet of movement, so he is now 60 feet away from you.
Well, I was already 60, and then I did 120.
And then you did 120, he's 120.
Yeah.
Okay. He immediately, he sees this, he understands he's not going to be able to get this dude out of your hands, and you see as Alexi does a hard pivot and boof, bolsters through that wooden door that was too big, and he just crashes through and just keeps running.
Just away?
Yes.
I got no problem with that. I'm sure that won't come back to haunt me later.
Yeah, things don't come back.
End of his turn. Sig, you're up.
I'm up? Okay. Yep. I could do this all day. all right. 21 to hit.
That definitely hits.
That is 9 bludgeoning and 2 psychic.
Okay, yeah. 11 points of damage. Still standing, but looking bad.
Now I make a choice. I'm gonna brand castigation him. So any time he deals damage to anyone, he takes damage
in
turn. I should have done that way earlier. Fun fact.
Fair.
So each time he deals damage to me or another creature within 5 feet, he takes 2 psychic damage.
Okay.
So I'm just going to do my bonus action. 11 or 12. Either way, I think it misses.
That misses, yeah. Okay, and your turn?
Yep.
Okay, Nyssa finally gets from Gustav their bow and is going to take a shot.
Yay, Nyssa.
Yay, Nyssa.
Shot, shot, shot.
Okay. Nyssa is going to cast Darkbolt and try and shoot him 3 times. Yep, first one hits. Second one misses. Third one is a natural 20, so double the dice on that. He's still standing. You see as Nyssa pulls back their bowstring, you see as 3 black arrows of shadow hit in and deal 13 points of damage. He is on his last legs, though. That's the end of their turn. Brian, you're on your way back. We're not even going to worry about that right now.
Cool.
Gail, you are up.
Hi, it's me.
You see as Urbane is on his last legs.
Last legs, like really truly.
Yes, really truly last legs.
So seeing that first spell went pretty well, they're just going to... So can you roll another con for me, please?
Con, yeah. Got 12.
So he fails.
Fails.
Thank God for my fucking intelligence modifier. Yep. Sorry. That's going to change my life. Okay, so seeing that first spell went pretty well, Gale's going to gather up what seems like those same stained glass shards, and it's going to materialize in front of them, and casting just a little bit off from Sig, but still at... why can't I hold his name in my head anymore?
Urbane.
Urbane, there we go. Right, just to the just off of Urbane, and once again those glass pieces are gonna shatter and hit into him, and I'm gonna roll that now.
Okay,
he's just the villain of the week.
Don't say that.
No, just one. Oh, just one more.
Actually, villain of the month. We haven't seen for a bit.
So that is for 16 damage.
How would you like to do this?
And it's going to be non-lethal.
Yeah, non-lethal.
I've been out of combat. I get to take some of that. This is great for me. Okay. So as those... So still leaning on this table, Gale makes that symbol shatters again and sinks into Urbane. And as those sort of... almost spectral, not really, but like immaterial glass pieces, sort of they dissipate and they dissipate into these gold lines and words that just begin to crawl all over him and sink into his skin, this sort of, energy, this magical energy, and gives a blast and then just fades.
Yeah, and you see as Urbane trying to stay up, slams down, ricochets off the ground. You see as he stays in this form, but is knocked unconscious. And that is where we will end our session.
Oh my goodness.
Woo! Barely.
Hey guys, we wanted to give you a big thank you for listening to this episode. We are so excited to continue the story of this party and share this world with you. Please check out our socials on Instagram, TikTok, and Reddit by searching up Campaign Casters. No spaces, one word, Camp AIGN Casters. Back from the intro, if you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on Spotify, Apple Music, or any of our other podcast platforms. If we get 1,000 reviews, we are going to create a poll and have you all choose a 5th edition adventure module for us to speedrun.
Our theme song is Nobody's Hero by Chronophobia. A big shout out to them for allowing us to use their beautiful music. You can find them on all music platforms, including but not limited to Apple Music, iTunes, and Spotify. Our players for this campaign are Heath Chase as Sig Valang, Jake Taylor as Brian Smith, Adam Fox as Leo, Sophia Condit as Lycan, Ari Bardak-Mitchell as Gael, Haven Joseph Lyon as Nyssa Stone, and me, Nicholas Bailey, as Elxador Renades. Our next episode will be released on December 6th. Additionally, our after talk show, Arcane Recovery, will be released on November 29th. In this talk show, we discuss our thoughts, feelings, and favorite moments from the past two episodes. As the campaign progresses, we look for questions and threads on our Reddit you guys have, and we'll answer them in our discussion.
Until next time, be careful adventuring. If you're tired, come back home.